good news, everyone!
Time for fun!
It's time for another episode of Blessing of Frost, a World of Warcraft podcast hosted by Magic and Kern.
Hey there, my name is Kern, and welcome to episode 20, freaking 4 of Blessing of Frost. With me, as per usual, is our friend, yours and mine, Magic Marine.
I'm your friend? That's the first time you've ever told me. I feel so touched.
Yeah, it's called sarcasm.
Oh, now I'm sad.
Sad.
Just one tear down the right cheek.
With us today is a soon-to-be former officer and raider of Apotheosis, my brother, Fog.
Hello there.
Hey, buddy.
Back How you guys for, doing?
Back for your glorious return to the podcast scene, huh?
Yeah, I thought I'd give it a better shot.
Yeah, it's been 22 episodes since we've had you on last.
Yeah, you guys have become better interviewers over time.
I think so. I like to think of myself as a host rather than an interviewer.
Yeah, well, that's because we do terrible interviews. So, you know, if we stick with host, then at least we're okay at that.
Well, you might do terrible interviews.
Hey. Yes. Well,
you guys are no Pat Sajak, that's for sure.
Ouch. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I used to watch the Pat Sajak show back in the late 80s, early 90s. I am better than Pat Sajak was as a late night host. Thank you very kindly.
Careful. Did you just...
so debatable.
Did you just date yourself a little bit? Uh-oh.
Yeah, so moving on.
Yeah, so I guess then we'll move on into our weeks. Did you have anything exciting happen this week?
I kind of did. It's really exciting for me and a really sad statement on society at the same time.
Excellent. Move right along.
I made a crap ton of money. I've been on Skywall now on the Baby Pally for like less than 2 weeks, like just about 2 weeks. And I now have like 35,000 gold over there.
Nice. That's pretty solid.
Yes. I have to say that... despite my joy, my actual joy in getting so much gold from people by selling things, I'm going to hell because I am a horrible enabler and a terrible person, and I'm going to hell.
And I've always said that about you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you beat
me to it. I'm sure you guys agree entirely with that assessment.
Of course. But who knows the reasoning?
I am going to be rich, but I'm going to be rich in hell. So basically what I did was I decided to renew my efforts with Mysterious Fortune cards. Longtime listeners may remember that I played around with that market for a while and could not believe how many people actually bought the crap that I was trying to peddle. But they did. And they still are.
Huh.
And not only that, not only is it just, you know, random bunches of people buying my cards, I have honest to God made about 4,500 gold from this one person on Skywall who's not using it to make fortune cookies for food buffs or anything like that. No, no, he's actually flipping them over.
That is quite a bunch of money.
Wow.
It is. It's very sad.
It makes me wonder if he flipped like a decent one. It was like, you know what? Maybe this is profitable. And then just goes right back to work on it.
No,
you know,
I
that
don't think so.
This is like somebody who has 150,000 gold.
Nope.
And is just bored.
He asked me how to make more money.
Well, oh god, that's horrific.
Well, you know, if you flip this 5,000 gold card, you'll be rolling in the money.
I
you know
told
where
him...
you can buy them.
I told him and, well... I told Trade and also him personally that if anyone flips over a purple card of mine, like from one of my stacks, I will buy it from them for the vendor price plus 100 gold.
And what's that?
So it's like 1,100 gold for the 1,000 one or 5,100 gold for the 5,000 gold one.
Oh,
and
wow.
Why?
Because I want to be able to actually have them in my inventory so I can link them to disbelievers saying that's a scam, you'll never get it. And I'll be like, oh yeah? What up, man?
Don't believe me? Crack trade.
Exactly. Okay, so
anyway.
I am really, really, really rich, for me anyway, on Skywall, considering I only went over there with like 2,000 gold cash or something like that and some items to sell. And I've just been buying a crap ton of herbs and selling these mysterious fortune cards and a few Dark Moon cards of destruction. So it's kind of dumb, and it's also really awesome, but I'm going to hell because I am enabling people in their gambling habits, and that's not good.
But how much time do you spend producing that, you know? Like, how much work are you putting in for this 5,000 gold or however much you've made over this time?
Nothing.
Yeah, literally, you're it's herbing? Just milling. No, I'm not herbing. I don't have an herbalist over there.
Oh, you're milling herbs. That's it.
Yeah, and then making the ink, and then buying, on occasion, some volatile life to make the Dark Moon cards of destruction. And that's a pretty penny as well.
Wow.
But the mysterious fortune cards, people eat that stuff up, man. I started selling them for like five for $49.99. And
clever
tactic.
It
looks better. It looks
Did you
better
work in retail?
So that's where I started because I was undercutting people who were like right at 50 or something like that. So I undercut them by a copper
and sold
all my crap.
You're such a bad person.
I know. I'm going to hell. I've already established.
You're the type of person where like I would buy the more expensive one.
Oh, yeah. I would not. Way to go. You've undercut it by a copper. You've shorted yourself a copper. You win.
So that's where I started, and then I like slowly raised the price when there was like no other competition, just to see where the sweet spot was. And $59.99 also sold very well. $69.99 sold really well, no joke.
Oh my god!
What didn't sell quite as well, but still ended up selling out within like 3 hours, as opposed to 10 minutes, was $79.99.
That's ridiculous. So sick.
That's
for
ridiculous.
Five cards. It's dumb. It's terrible.
You know, I've always thought that the like economy on the servers is such an interesting thing. Like, there has to be some kind of balance, and I'm sure people in, you know, marketing schools, business schools could learn a thing or two.
Yeah, I absolutely agree because I mean I'm sitting there and I'm just like raking in the cash. And so I played around with it a bit on Eldritch Alice as well, and like it didn't sell as quickly as it did over on Skywall, but it still sold because what I did there was I didn't undercut people, but I sold in smaller quantities. So instead of 10 for $79.99, I was doing 5 for $49.99. And so people would buy the 5 packs instead of the 10 packs, but then they would come back and be like, oh, just one more. And then they wouldn't like clue into the fact, I guess, that they you know, spent almost double. Yeah, so I'm going to hell. Somebody seems on ET seems to have bought out my cards and is now trying to sell them individually for 20 gold a pop, to which I say, good luck, buddy.
That is not... I mean, that's too much. I think that's... I mean, I already thought it was too much, so I can't even imagine.
The average is about 10 gold per. That like you can get down to about 7 or 8 per, but 20 gold for one card is not really going to sell unless people are super desperate.
And if just to be clear, like if you flip them over, they're pretty much useless.
Yeah, they're just garbage.
Yeah, we're
still talking about pretty much literally selling 50 silver for 10 gold.
Yeah, basically, because the most common cards are the 10 silver ones. That vendor for 10 silver. You can get a couple that sell for like 20 gold, 5 gold. There's a couple in the 50 gold or 200 gold range. Then, of course, there is the 1,000 gold and the 5,000 gold. I actually flipped 1,000 gold a couple of weeks ago. I was playing around with this, and I had like... like 3 or 4 cards left, so I didn't have like enough for a stack that I tend to put up, and I just flipped it over, and the third one, bam, 1,000 gold.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was pretty sweet. So that was what I did in terms of money. I still feel really bad, but holy crap, it's really nice to have a lot of cash.
Don't kid yourself, you don't feel bad.
I do feel bad, though, every time. No, the worst, okay? But it's also the best.
so
see what I mean?
You are the worst person, but at the same time, you just love it.
Okay, it's the best and the worst. It's when you're at the auction house and you're like on the auction house, blah blah blah, go buy them, good luck, whatever. So then you see like your initial flood of people who go and buy your packs. And then
I'm sure everyone can relate.
like 1 minute later
The
or
second wave
less,
of people.
it's the same as the first wave of people.
Oh my
It's when
gosh.
you get the repeat buyers who are like, oh, well, I didn't win 5,000 gold. I better go try again. And so you can almost see them in your mind's eye, like trudging back to the AH, buying out another couple decks, going back to the mailbox, pulling it out,
That's
and
horrific.
then like flipping the cards. And then they will occasionally even come back again.
Oh my gosh.
I no, seriously, over the course of 20 minutes on Skywall the other night, I had like one person buy 2,500 gold worth in like 20 minutes.
That's savage.
Yeah.
At the same time, that person probably then didn't deserve the gold. Let's be serious.
For that,
A fool and his money are soon parted.
Exactly.
Good expression.
Yeah. So, okay, that was my money-making endeavor, which was quite successful. The other interesting thing is that I on the Baby Pally last week, I got pulled into Heroic Meloriac a bit unexpectedly last Wednesday.
Oh boy.
I was told at the start of the raid that I'd be pulled in for regular Magmaw and regular ODS, and then they would swap me for another Pally for Heroic Meloriac. Like, yeah, sure, no problem. Got my breastplate off of Magmaw, which was sweet. And so, after ODS, I hearthed and I got all my stuff enchanted. And then I'm hearing over event that they were like calling for the other Pally because he'd accepted the invite to the raid, and but he hadn't zoned in and he was AFK. And it's like, well, where is he? Turns out he had fallen asleep and he's got this mod where he auto accepts invites or something.
Huh.
So they're like, well, I guess Madrona's coming back in. I'm like, okay. So
Yeah.
I, Heroic Meloriac, it's not like a fight that I'm not familiar with, right?
Yeah.
Because we've done it, but I gotta say, being in there on my somewhat undergeared for heroics paladin is certainly interesting. I mean, I kept the main tank alive, which was my job, and I just gotta say that it's difficult because I expect my heals to hit for a little bit more, and I expect my mana pool to last a little bit longer. So it's like I have to be hyper aware of the tank's health, like even more so than I normally am. And my mana, like I have to be judging almost on cooldown, like throughout the entire fight, to maintain a good level of mana. That's it. It went really well. We didn't get him down, but we had like I think it was a 13% wipe or something. And then the next night on Thursday, when I was raiding with Apotheosis, they went in and they did get him down. So, congrats to Choice.
Oh, nice.
Hey, choiceguild.com.
Yeah. So
Okay.
that was my week. What about you, bro? How about you?
Oh God, well, I recently decided to kind of long story, so decided to run a TSG comp in a threes next season. So I'm gonna be playing the warrior in that part. Madge is actually playing the Holy Pally and Merc is doing the DK business. So I'm in the midst of leveling the warrior and it's actually horrific right now. I'm in the 70s zone. Yeah, it's long. I'm in the 70 to 80 zone. I'm actually about to ding 75 erbing as we speak. And so that's taken up a lot of my time, I'm not gonna lie. But apart from that, doing a little RBGs and stuff like usual, and I guess also getting used to not raiding anymore, which is sad.
Yeah, we're still gonna call upon you a couple times before 4.2 drops, I believe.
Yeah, I figured
If
as
we
much, and
can.
that's very cool. And what else? That's about it. Enjoying summer. It's been beautiful here, actually.
It really has been,
Yeah.
and I have not been outside all that much.
Yeah, I
It's
know.
savagely
You've
hot
been
here, so.
taking people's money away from that.
But you know what? With the remote mobile with the remote. What the hell's it called? The remote
Auction
auction
house?
house thing? Yeah. Like I can just
You
do
can do
that
both.
from anywhere. Like I can be outside and be like, I will list these cards now. And then I can take people's money while I'm getting some sun.
Too bad it's only guild chat. Too bad you can't, like, advertise the trade chat while on the...
That's level. Key.
Okay, that how much really does that key. Cost again?
Like, $2.99 a month, I think, US. Oh.
Take bad. More money, Blizzard, you bastards.
There is that.
Wholeheartedly.
Anyway. That's my week. How about you, Matt?
You know, I've, again, being the third part of that crew, have been attempting to level the paladin. Sadly, I haven't been able to be on as often as you, so...
Yeah, I'm ruining you.
Yeah, I'm lagging behind on that one. Although... Although, for the first time ever, and I'm not proud about it, I bought all the heirloom experience boosters because I've been falling behind a bunch. So I actually bought the tanking chest, shoulders, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I was helm, touched you decided to spend the valuable justice points.
Yeah, it was actually all off my DK. I've had just enough. I had to turn all my honor into justice. Yeah, all off of Madge. I used all the justice points and then had to turn all my honor into justice points and then had to run, still had to run one random to get just enough to get the
still pretty good
last piece I was missing.
So you went, so you went with the, what is it called again? Gotta have it too. It's Wrath?
What is it? Oh man, I don't know. The tanking one you're saying?
Of Might. Yeah.
Might, excuse me.
Yeah, the DPS one's Valor, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's so also...
I got all of them, all the Might ones, because tanking has been the way that I've majorly been leveling. And at the same time, I can use them on the Death Knight as well, so...
Yeah, totally. And it just, tanking makes everything quicker, right?
Oh, yeah. It's so rough when you get a group with a tank that's not great or anything like that, and then you're just, like, waiting forever, stuff's not dying. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, in all honesty, I think that all the BOA gear and all the uberness of these, of the class changes, I think, over time have made us so powerful, too, comparatively.
Oh,
that
no question.
when there's, like, a warrior that's just, or a warrior, a tank that's just, you know, derping around, it can make it painful, and it's not that he's horrible, it's just that he's, you know, it takes him a while to do everything, and just extends the process that we want to end so quickly, right?
Exactly. Get in, get experience, and get out.
And get out, yes.
Yeah, that's why I tanked through, like, from 68 to 80 on my baby Pally, because I knew the instances, I knew them better than most of the people who were trying to tank. I knew that I could tank better than, you know, 80% of the tanks out there easily.
You're like the most controlling tank I've ever had the displeasure of running with.
I'm not tanking for you. My warrior is 75. I could tank for you, but you know what? I'm not going to now.
No, because you're really... You know, it's a good thing you like everything to happen the way you want it to happen.
Oh, she likes CC stuff and whatnot.
She used to. She used to for, you know, CC this, CC that, which is not terrible, but... You know, absolutely. Sorry, continue.
Sorry. What I insist on is that people actually interrupt crap or kill the skull first.
So you expect people not to fail, which is not entirely unreasonable, you know?
No. I don't expect them not to fail. I don't care if you're pulling like 400 DPS or whatever a really absurdly low amount is. As long as you're interrupting that stupid Shadow Blast in Old Kingdom, then that's fine. Then you get to stay, and I will not vote kick you.
Oh my god.
But I mean, like, usually have a certain amount of interrupts as a tank. So, I mean, like, Shockwave is great, and Pummel is great, and as a Pally, you know, Rebuke is godly, and Hammer of Justice even, and Avenging Shield is all great. But sometimes, you have to rely on a DPS to actually DPS the correct target and interrupt it.
That's true.
I stopped relying on that, and just do it myself. And if I can't do it myself, then I'm just like, you know what? We'll just pop the cooldown and deal with it. Because
yeah,
I don't
and
trust
you know, truthfully, with the gear and everything, it doesn't usually
matter
even all that much.
Just die so much quicker than they previously used to. It's
you can't get
close.
Anything going like at all in terms of DPS. You know, it's maybe like a rotation or two, and the boss is dead.
It's before almost. I remember running these dungeons, and I remember the mechanics, but it doesn't even make a difference. They're dying before the mechanics even go off anymore.
Just don't do anything.
Oh yeah.
Damn it.
How about the mechanics?
They matter.
They did matter.
They do.
We're talking about old content here, sister, not, you know.
Yeah, I mean, new
Cal would agree with me.
Yeah, well, mechanics always matter. Just not when you're, like, for some reason, crazy overgeared, even though I think I'm pretty appropriately geared and just it's, I don't know, it's weird.
Sigh. Oh,
yeah, le sigh for sure.
So I've done a lot of randoms on the Paladin, and actually I've been tanking almost all of them, except I guess it was yesterday, the day before, one man tanked a couple, and I healed, and so I like started healing a few of them, which I intend on doing anyway, but my gear is not as good, and I don't have any of the legacy stuff for healing, so it's not as great, but I enjoy it, so, you know, I enjoy having fun more, I guess, than having the honor stuff or legacy stuff. I've had a couple really, I've been what must be blessed with decent healers over the past few over the past week, because I've hit very few snags where there's been any issue with healing at all, regardless of the size of the group.
Really?
Well, that's good.
And one of them that I actually emailed you the picture, which was hilarious. His name is Safety Heals from Kill Jaden. And we're in Blood Furnace, I believe. And right before the boss, where you like flip the switch and you do all the waves. And the guy, I think he may have died, or maybe he didn't, but he had about a quarter mana. And I'm like, drink up. And he responds with, mana is a crutch. And I'm like, you are my hero.
No way.
Oh, yes. And screenshots to prove it, because it was wonderful. And dude, for those that don't know, that is like my huge saying.
He's been saying that since vanilla, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Mana is a crutch. And so that's been my take on healing forever. Ever since I've been able to watch Crypt Kicker heal with no mana. Like, forget it. That guy doesn't need mana, but I don't need mana.
That's true.
So true, man. So true.
Yeah. So, and then I had another healer, Violette from Dreadmaw, who was just all around a great, I think it was a shaman healer, who we did maybe like five or six dungeons, and I pulled any size worth of mobs, and with, again, no issues. It was great. So it made all tanking relatively easy and almost seamless between instances, because if you can keep the same healer, then I have, like, there's no issues.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the requeue.
The requeue. That's something I didn't really do a lot of when I was leveling. Just because it is that, well, no. I mean, if you're the tank, there's really no difference.
There's no faster.
Well, even so, it theoretically is. Especially if you have a smooth group. The healer didn't fail. He wasn't in sit and drink every 2 seconds. And you could keep going at a reasonable pace.
I always had some sort of failure in my groups. Like, even the smoothest groups that I had while leveling the baby pally, some of them, like, there was always at least one failed DPS and possibly a failed healer. And it was, like, by the grace of God and all that is holy that we would get through it. Like, and those were the good runs. So I don't know what's going on now. Maybe people are re-rolling in anticipation of Firelands and such. And so you've got more skilled players coming in and really grinding it out. So I don't know.
Re-rolling for Firelands? What are you talking about?
So there's that. And you're going to get the hilarious... I shared this story with Mabs the night it happened, but have not mentioned it since because I thought it'd make a great story for now. So we remember Dayden was there. Let's say Fog wasn't there, and Kern, you were. Where Dayden is asking me, like, why am I moving my mark, like, the star around a bunch? I was like, oh, I don't know, that's weird. And during the same night, I inquired as to why did I sheep the wrong target, because I can't ever remember sheeping the wrong target. Because the second I get the thing, I focus it, and then, you know, it's done from there. I don't worry about it. So when it looked like I had sheeped the wrong target, I was very concerned and confused. To which Lude pointed out, of course, you made a mistake. But you're a great human being. And so, that happens, and I'm thinking, like, what the hell happened here? So a few minutes later, Dayden says, why are you moving the marker? Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then I look down, and I have my Fire Blast, which is normally bound, or maybe it wasn't Fire Blast, maybe it was the Curse. Yeah, it was the Curse, or something. I don't even remember now. I had something bound to Star, to Marking Star, because I was using it for the Shadow Realm. on the previous night of attempts. So instead of doing whatever offensive spell I was attempting to do, I was instead marking things with the star. So,
oops.
So that's why I thought I had sheeped the wrong target, because I had chosen the star as the target to mark in the Shadow Realm, and why I was effectively not spreading dots around with Fire Blast.
That is epic. You, sir, are a champion among champions.
I know, right?
King amongst men.
Yeah, that was a good one when I realized it. I was like, oh god, I shouldn't tell anybody. So let's tell the story on the podcast.
That's great.
Nobody
Thank
listens
you for
to
sharing.
That.
Yeah, nobody listens to this.
At least I've gotten it off my chest.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a confessional.
Exactly. That's all right.
And with that, we'll move into our hot fix section, which, yet again, lies empty. We really anticipated 4.2 dropping on Tuesday, the 21st.
It turns out, no matter how much you anticipate, it doesn't mean it's happening.
No, that's very true. So it is, in almost all likelihood, going to drop on the 28th. It's definitely not dropping on the 21st, because it's just rolling restarts, not extended maintenance. So we're looking at the 28th of June for 4.2, and that means that bright and early in the morning on the 28th of June, there will be a new episode of Blessing of Frost, focusing all on those changes.
Hooray!
Hooray! So we'll now move into slash raid. What did we do this week?
Anything exciting?
We did some good work. We cleared out BWD in a night. That's Heroic Magma,
Positive.
Regular ODS, Heroic Chimeron, Heroic Maloriac, Heroic Atrimedes, regular Neph.
Chimeron.
Yes, yeah. Chimeron.
Whatever, shush. we did a good amount of work there, and then we did Heroic Halfis on Thursday. And then for the rest of the raid week, that was the rest of Thursday and all of Sunday, we worked on Heroic Valiona and Thralian.
Yeah. I want to do ODS again. I like ODS more.
That's because you're psychotic.
Unlike, well, possible.
Valiona and Thralian, I gotta say, is probably one of the biggest challenges in terms of personal responsibility. You have got, no matter who you are, you've got to be aware of like so many factors, and you've got to do your best not to blow people up. It's very interesting. It's a challenging fight. I'm enjoying it, but we got them to 34% on Thursday, and very close to 34% on Sunday. So people are less than thrilled with our lack of progress, so to speak.
Almost all damage on that fight is avoidable.
Pretty much everything, yeah. The one thing that's really absolutely not avoidable is if you're going into the Twilight Realm, you will take some damage, because every method of getting down there involves taking at least some damage. But yeah, like the Devouring Flames, Engulfing Magic. I mean, Engulfing Magic isn't you, per se, it's the person with Engulfing Magic, but I mean, like, you should still be able to move away from them, and I understand that there's bad RNG, and there's bad Void Zone placement, and stuff like that, and so some damage is totally understandable. It just, like, makes me so sad to see, you know, people struggling with some mechanics that we've dealt with from day one on that fight.
I don't know.
People have off nights, it happens.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like it's the same names coming up constantly. It's like everybody, you know, including myself, I've screwed up a couple times. I did not stack for Blackout a few times last night, which was my bad, you know. But still, I feel like this is something achievable before 4.2 drops. So that's going to be our focus. I think we'll do another full clear of BWD, go in and do exactly what we did last week, only with more success.
Hooray, success.
Hooray, success is good. We also welcomed a rogue to the guild named Cinder Hayes. So welcome to him. I don't think he's actually been tagged yet, but he has transferred. So looking forward to having him in the raids. A couple of roster changes. Unfortunately, one of our healers, Sundial, is stepping down, and we'll miss him in the raids. But our buddy Num, who does our intro for the show here, he is returning. So Disc Priest for Disc Priest, that's not a bad deal. It means we're not down a healer, which is great. So welcome back to Num as well.
Yay.
Welcome back, Num.
Yay. And a couple other roster changes going on, but essentially right now we're looking for Arrested Chamois, an Enhancement Chamois, and a Rhett Pally. I think that's what we're looking for at the moment. So please feel free to app at apotheosis-now.com.
Hooray! Apps!
Yeah, so looking to be 7 of 13 before 4.2 drops. We will keep you guys posted for sure in next week's edition of Blessing of Frost. All right, with that, we'll move into our general chat because we've already done the guild tab with Fog. He was our very first guest ever, episode 2. Check it out.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, our topic today is the Midsummer Fire Festival, which, as you are listening to this, has already begun. It just started this morning at 3 a.m. Eastern, midnight Pacific.
So that's Tuesday, then, is what you're saying.
Tuesday, June 21st. That is correct.
Gotcha.
Oh, and wow, it will run. So I can do this now?
Yes, you could do it while listening to yourself on the podcast.
Well, it's, you know, mindless.
Yes.
There you go.
And it runs until July 5th at midnight Pacific. So make sure that you're done by the end of American Independence Day.
As I will certainly be, because that is the last one I need for Magic's meta. I'm excited.
I'm very pleased that you're finally going to get your Violet Protodrake. I know that you're a big fan of the Protodrakes.
I do heart the Protodrakes. I wish I had some cooler ones, but am unwilling to put in the war for any cooler ones, so that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Well, except for the Time Lost Protodrake, I seem to recall you losing a lot
goodness.
Of time.
I am so not handling this on the air with you, because there are some more ChoiceGuild.com words that I would use than I can say on here.
Is that the expletively deleted of the show?
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. So, so Magic is unwilling to put in most of the effort required for cool drakes, so that's cool. No problem. The Violet Proto Drake is definitely a neat one. Kern's got it, and like, I don't want to do any crap on any other tune in order to get it on any other tune, so.
Yeah. I think it's that meta's the one of, you know, you probably, unless you love achievements, it's sort of that one of. I don't know. It's some of those holidays are tough to get all the things done, especially this one. I think this is probably, say this is one of the harder ones to get everything done.
No, it's not one of the harder ones. I think the harder ones involve PvP achievements, so like Halloween and Noble Garden.
Really?
Those are rough. Okay.
Yeah, Orphans. I think of this one as just longer than.
Yeah, it's tedious. Tedious exactly.
No
as
doubt.
Anything.
No friggin' doubt. Noble Gardener though, it's up there.
Unfortunately, I have managed to do the Midsummer Fire Festival achievements on two tunes, which I did not want to do, but I did want the money. So I ended up doing all the fires on Madrana, and I, you know, just finished it off with the other stuff I had to do. And so she's a Flame Warden, and I might do it on the Baby Pally for cash too. I guess we'll see.
I was gonna say, so we can start the rundown with what do you mean by doing the fires?
Oh, dear Lord, yes. Good point there. So, you have fires that burn during the Fire Festival. You've got them in Kalimdor, in Eastern Kingdoms, in Outlands, and in Northrend. That is a lot of fires. There's generally one for each faction in every zone. In some zones, you've got more than one. It's really not pleasant. It involves a lot of running around. And being that I am not a mage, like some people...
Yeah.
It sucks to have to run around. It sucked more in previous years because we couldn't fly in the Eastern Kingdoms or Kalimdor.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's going to be much easier now because you can.
I hate you.
You hate
I'm
it.
Doing
I hate
it right now. You have a guide, right?
I have several guides, actually, and we will link them. Probably the best bet is the Wowhead Midsummer Fire Festival guide, which we'll link.
You know what my pretty best awesome. Link is?
What's that?
Sister, where is it? And just get you to tell me where it is.
Yeah, that works out very well for you. I
for
know.
Me, yes.
For you. let's see.
I guess, you know what, it is tedious, but at least it's not random. You know where you need to go. There are guides for it. You're not trying to get some stupid thing out of a bag for Halloween where you never know if you actually will get it till the next, next year.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's pretty simple to get all of this stuff. Like, everything, I don't think anything here really relies on chance, because what you do is you go through and you do the desecration of the Horde or of the Alliance, and the, what is it, the Fires of Azeroth, Flamekeeper, blah, blah, yeah. Like, all kinds of, basically, in return for honoring your faction's fires and desecrating the fires of the opposing faction, you end up doing all of these sub-achievements, which are required for the title Flame Warden, which is in turn required for the meta for the Violet Protodrake. So there's all kinds of stuff like extinguishing Eastern Kingdoms, Flame Keeper of the Eastern Kingdoms, all kinds of crap like that.
That's the funniest thing, is that when you go into it, you see, like, you know, you click on the Flame Warden and there's 6 achievements, and then you're like, oh, well, that's not too bad. Until you click on, you know, the Fires of Azeroth, and you're like, oh, there's only 3 under that one, and then you click on that, and there's like, oh, a list of 20 places I have to go to, and I didn't just go through, you know, like, 3 other areas as well, so it grows, the list is huge.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm benefiting from low-level herbing to level inscription and herbalism skill to do all of it at the same time.
That's a good plan, actually.
That is a very good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised.
Honestly, I am too. But, funnily enough, I haven't found a single fire. Where are these guides? You say again?
I wonder. Oh, boy. Right. So, the big thing is to honor or desecrate all of the flames. And Wowhead has a great guide that shows you, like, with maps and everything as to where everything is. It gives you coordinates, it gives you, like, an actual, like, image of a map, tells you in the comments. It's really a comprehensive guide.
Yeah, that's pretty good. There's a couple underneath the main Midsummer. There are the Extinguishing the Fires, and then there's 3 other ones. There's Burning Hot Pole Dance, Torch Juggler, and Ice the Frost Lord.
Okay, let's talk about Burning Hot Pole Dance, which is pretty silly. It's sort of like, what is it, the Brewmaster one, I think it is, where you have to dress up and then dance or something like that. Yeah, this is essentially the same thing. So every time you honor or desecrate a flame, you get, what is it, Fire Blossoms? Help me out here.
I'm not sure. I haven't done it. I thought we just established this.
You're really helpful.
You're the expert.
So the question is, you get some form of currency. So by the time you do all the fires, you have the currency to purchase all the gear, correct?
Burning Blossoms. There we go. Yes. So you need, according to Wowhead's guide, so I take no responsibility if they're wrong, you'll need a total of 400 Burning Blossoms. And from what I recall, that's not really difficult to get. So you'll want to get the Mantle of the Fire Festival for 100. 100 goes towards the Vestment of Summer, and 200 for the Sandals of Summer. Now, the Crown of the Fire Festival is not required for this achievement, but you can also put that on if dressing up in game is your thing. and you get that through the Thief's Rewards, and how you get that's a whole other thing. We'll come back to that. But Burning Hot Pole Dance is basically you need 400. Burning Blossoms, you equip those pieces of clothing, the Mantle, the Vestment, and the Sandals, and then you literally right-click on one of the burning poles, and you end up doing a ribbon dance, and you get your achievement.
Yes. You know, it's obnoxious, because you have to dance at it for 60 seconds.
Yeah.
What?
You'd think just standing there and clicking on the pole. I will not have that. They will not take my time.
No way. That's so taxing.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny because you say that, but at the same time, it's just obnoxious. Like, you went through all the time to get, what'd you say, 200, was it, or 400?
400.
400 of these flowers, and then they're like, you know what? You stand around and look like an idiot because we're requiring it for 1 minute. Thanks,
it's sort
Blizzard.
Of insulting.
Yeah,
injury.
We just want 1 more minute of your time.
Please, this is
oh, I dropped the F-bomb, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'll edit that out.
So it's okay, appropriate.
Sleeping.
Give me a break. Yeah, choiceguild.com me.
All right. So that's the burning hot pole dance or whatever. Then we have Ice the Frost Lord. Several years ago, when the Fire Festival was first implemented, I think that this might have been back in Burning Crusade, we got told over and over and over again in like general, not in like general chat, but like just in your chat window, like a notification from the server basically that the ice stone had melted.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, who else remembers that? So basically this was a bug from the implementation of the Frost Lord Ahun, who is in the Slave Pens. So it's an instanced version, a second instanced version.
I was about to say, I think the Slave Pens may be instanced already. At least it was when I ran it earlier this week. Just saying.
So it's a separate instanced version of the Slave Pens where Ahun is hanging out, and it's got to do with, like, I don't even remember where the ice stone comes from. Like, it's part of the fight, I think.
Yeah, he, like, retreats back into it at one point, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then, like, it melts or whatever, and then he comes back out, and you can proceed to kick his ass.
Something like that. I don't know.
It's not a difficult fight. Yes. It's not a difficult fight at all. It's pretty easy to do. The big thing to note is that in past years, and I don't know if this is going to happen again, but knowing Blizzard, they haven't changed anything except the loot table and his health has been up, but he's probably going to be immune to frost.
Oh, the worst. Actually, do you remember when we ran that fog and I had to tank? However, back in the day,
yes,
I was a frost,
DK. Yes.
Frost Death Knight tank.
Yep, I do remember that, and you sucked at it.
Yeah, thanks.
It was always way better when I did it.
And all his adds are immune to frost as well, so picking them up was obnoxious.
Oh, that was, yeah, that was the issue.
Yeah, that was pretty lame right there. So that's a big thing to be aware of, especially if you're, you know, a frost knight or a frost mage,
too.
Yeah. Or, you know, if there's any kind of frost in your rotation. Like, at one point, I ran it on my mage who was frost, and I wasn't aware that, you know, he was immune to everything until I started seeing all these immune things pop up on my screen. I'm like, crap. I'm like, where is my fireball button? Huh?
Oh,
it's
sad.
It's in my spell book. There it is.
Oh. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You'd think with all the clutter in my UIs that I would have space for fireball as a frost mage, but apparently not.
Apparently not.
Pretty messed
fire
up,
blast,
sister.
Yes, but not fireball.
That's funny.
Yeah, so what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to use the Dungeon Finder to find groups for the Frost Lord. And that's going to work out sort of the same way as the other seasonal bosses has worked in the past, where you, like, literally just queue up and, you know, go in. It's not going to take very long.
No.
And he drops updated loot. The loot, according to MMO Champion, is all item level 353. So that's on par with ZG and ZA loot, and it's all cloaks, and then there is a staff.
Right on. I have a question.
Yes.
Is it going to be subject to the looking for tank thing as well?
Ooh, good question. I don't know.
What do you mean?
You know what? No, because you know, it's not. You're not selecting.
I won't get
random,
a satchel.
Because it's not a random dungeon.
Oh,
I would assume,
I guess,
because you're
probably not. Yeah.
Oh, the call to arms. Yeah,
yeah.
No, I doubt it. Maybe. That would be awesome.
No way. Because you can queue up for it almost every 15 minutes.
You can queue up for it instantly.
Right, but I'm saying that, like, you finish that place in 15 minutes and you'll just go back in again. And there's a tank you're instant queuing already, so people would be picking up satchels. It would devalue the satchel a lot.
That's true.
But, so the staff is really cool looking. It's called the Frost Scythe of Lord Ahun, and it's a staff. It's got 700 stamina on it for some reason, but it increases your spell power by 1849, crit strike rating by 207, haste rating by 207. It's got an on-use effect that will let the Frost Scythe's chill flow through you with a 1-minute cooldown. I have no idea what the hell that means. And it has flavor text, which I always like. And it says a cold chill flows from the scythe.
sounds also.
Ooh.
I want it. I don't have a tune at max level that can equip it, but I want it.
What, I guess really? I do, actually.
I don't have a tune. Kern could equip it. But Kern isn't going to equip it because Menpet no longer scales from spell power.
Why did they stop that? Because people were abusing it or because people were idiots?
Both.
Nice. People are putting spell power on because of Menpet. Should we just let them do it because they're dumb? No, we should probably just not let it scale anymore.
Yeah, because I've seen a YouTube video of a level 60 Beast Mastery Hunter decked out in shaman gear, right? Because it's all male. Basically mending his pet through Azure Ghost.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what I think changed that.
They were
that.
Trying to stop.
Yeah.
They're like, no, this is nonsense. Not allowed.
This is not working how we intended.
Exactly. And if Blizzard did not intend it, then it shall not pass.
That's the truth.
That said, the cloaks are pretty good. I'm not sure that you would want these over the cloaks that you're going to get from Justice Points when 4.2 drops. But for the next week or so, they're useful. I know that the Healer Cloak is actually better for a Paladin than the current Valor Point Cloak is for healers, because it's got Haste and it's got Spirit off of Ahune. Lower level Pallies will want that over the Mastery that I think the Heavenly Breeze gives you. So, I mean, definitely look at the itemization. There's tanking, physical DPS with strength, agility DPS, you know, caster DPS, healers, obviously. Like, there's cloaks for everybody. So we'll have the link to MMO up there, and you guys can, you know, go see what is available from Ahune.
I mean, the nice thing is, you're going to see, like, 15 of all of them, because of how often you can run it, and then, you know, I guess it's just, I don't know. You see so many of them, you can't disenchant them, and they don't sell either, so...
Yeah, so you may as well just take it if you can use it, you know? Like, granted, I'm not saying Ninja, the tank cloak from
seriously,
the tank.
Do not.
Like, wait to see if your tank is going to need it. If your tank needs it, pass. Don't be that douchebag.
I might take it and wear it on Harvey just because the skin will be nicer than the current one that he's wearing.
Wow.
Exactly. Another great reason.
Vanity spec.
Take gear.
Yes.
Because it looks awesome.
The fight for Ahune, though, is pretty simple. Basically, you beat on Ahune for a little bit, and then he retreats into a shell. Then you kill his adds, and you can basically do no real damage to his shell at that point. Because it, like, stops, like, 99% of damage done or something like that. So just focus on the adds. He'll come back out. Then you, like, want to pop Hero or Bloodlust at that point, I guess, and then go to town on him. Really not a difficult encounter.
No, I think there was... We always ended up racing to see how if we could get it down before he retreats into the shell.
I don't think it's possible.
We failed.
Did we ever do it? No.
No, we never succeeded. We failed hardcore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like not seeing two insanities on that guy in...
Shadowlands.
Oh, man. Old Kingdom.
Old Kingdom, yeah.
Yeah, that guy. That guy.
That was annoying. Like, even if he was dead, he would do it. And
yeah,
you'd have, you know,
much.
It's true. I've killed him. I know it. Anyway.
And then the other achievement that we want to talk about is Torch Juggler.
I think I did a couple of those on the Death Knight, maybe. I don't really remember, though. It has to do with, like, following the shadow on the ground.
Torch juggling sucks. Let me be very, very clear about this. First of all...
Yes.
I used like a custom UI. Well, I mean, like I always modify my UI, but something that I had on was conflicting with being able to track my achievement. So, if you're having that issue, definitely try disabling some of your add-ons to make sure that, you know, it's actually counting properly for you. You've got to juggle 40 torches in 15 seconds in Dalaran, and that so A, you got to get to Dal, which is not. You know, fun. I suspect Magic's Mage is going to make a lot of cash opening ports.
Yeah.
and you basically need to juggle 40 torches. So what Wowhead sort of recommends is you buy at least 10 juggling torches from the Midsummer vendor, and you basically want to hotkey the torch to like your one button or something like that. So bind it to one, and then you just try to click the ground just below your character. So like you hit that button and you get the green targeting circle, and you want to have it the reticule, and then you put it like below your tune where you're already standing. And then so you hit like one click, one click, one click, and you do that for 15 seconds. And if you do it quickly enough, you'll have juggled 40 of them.
Is that really what you're supposed to do?
Yes.
I think I've tried this before and been absolutely discouraged.
It's terrible. It's heinously bad, and that's why you want to be able to track this particular achievement, because it's so bad.
That is not fun at all.
The
good
news
super horrific.
Is that I do not believe the torches are bop. No, they're just unique. You can have up to 40 on you, but you don't need 40. You probably want 10 to 15. But you can then hand them over to a buddy who's having trouble or what have you.
Huh.
But it sucks. It sucks. So good luck to you guys on that one. Shit. But yeah.
Don't look forward to that, that's for sure.
Not at all. Seems annoying, especially for one of what is probably the easier achievements, or one of what I thought was the less time-consuming ones in there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It's just annoying. It's another part of the tedious side of this achievement. I mean, not only do you have to go across the entire world, you have to then waste time doing this crap. This is going to take you longer than like a minute of dancing at the fire pole.
Ugh. I don't know. Back to that. My God. One more minute. F-bomb. God, it's so obnoxious.
Isn't it? You know, it's not even like realistically, by the time you get there, you're just so like, oh, forget it. Fine, a minute, whatever. But it's so upsetting, theoretically.
Yeah, so most definitely.
Let's see.
Yes, very much so.
Let's talk a bit about... I'm trying to find the actual achievement here. You need to capture the flame from
a thief's reward.
Yeah, where is that here? I'm looking for
it. It's on the achievement thing.
Yeah, I see it. King of the Fire Festival, that's right.
In passing, Silverleaf is going for 20 gold a stack on the auction house.
You're not buying it, are you?
Are you mental? I went flying around again. No. I need it. I went farming.
So, the interesting part here is, yeah, a thief's reward is you've got to steal the flames from your enemy's capital cities. And I don't know about you guys, but it seems to me that Orgrimmar in particular has gotten a little more...
packed.
Beefy.
Yeah, so I didn't hear about this, by the way. Because I heard that something had happened recently with Orgrimmar, which may indicate how easy and or hard this achievement's going to be.
Not going to be easy. I'm just going to say that right now. Not going to be easy. The other cities shouldn't be too much of a problem, but definitely not looking forward to Orgrimmar. Basically, Apotheosis the other night, we decided to try to do a For the Alliance. And we hit up Silvermoon, then moved on to Undercity, then over to Thunderbluff, and then up to Orgrimmar, and we got pwned in Orgrimmar.
You know, I'm so glad that you brought this up, because I was really upset with myself for not bringing it up in the What Did We Do This Week section, and my God, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. I mean, just doing the stuff before in Silvermoon and Undercity, like before we went to Org, basically, it was like, you know, once we get to Org, we're just going to get a beat down. Like, where he is in the middle, like right next to their auction house. Like, we're done. It's going to be so dumb.
Yeah, and that's so not cool.
Yeah, it's so terrible, but whatever. I had a really good time doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good time, but like, as soon as we got into Org, as soon as we downed him, like, we were
crushed,
dead.
Huh?
So I'm not really sure where the fire is going to be. It used to be over nearish to where Thrall was, but Garrosh has now moved. So I don't know if the flame is going to move. If it doesn't move, you're fine. You basically can swoop in, do what you need to do to the flame, which is literally just loot it, and then swoop back out. But it's not, it wasn't easy back in the day, but like, if most of the people are like in the front area of Orgrimmar, then it's not going to be too difficult. And I don't know where the fires are in Stormwind or anything for you Hordies, so I'm really not sure how to help you out there. You'll definitely want to read the comments on the King of the Fire Festival quest on Wowhead. I'm sure that those will be updated as the I guess holiday goes on.
There's always a couple different ways to get into any of the cities as well, so make sure that you think about that, because I don't know what way you guys went in. I remember that when I did it, we went in, maybe it wasn't a weird way, it was like an upper path, and there were two ways you could go in, and I'm not really sure. But
dude, you can fly into Org now, right?
So, yeah, that's right.
Undercity, I understand, take the sewers and whatnot, we did that, but, you know, Org is just sort of like, hey, we're here.
Also, word to the wise, cities seem to have these flying patrols now, right? They hit hard, they will knock you out of the air, off of your mount, and you will fall to your death, as witnessed by me twice.
Wow. Yeah, you did get a beating.
Twice.
That seems pretty savage.
It was rough. So, you know, these are good things to do in, you know, either if you're alone, if you're like a stealth class and you don't really have to worry about such things, or with potions of invisibility, which are amazing. Shadow Meld is a great tool.
Invisibility.
Hey, don't knock the invisibility potions, okay? They have helped me out more times than I can count. Certainly more than you have.
Oh, ouch.
That's a low blow.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of that
one. I like it.
Thank you. definitely either do it stealthily, so you're not drawing a lot of attention to yourself, or pair up with a couple of friends. And let me tell you what, the Have Group Will Travel guild perk is key. No matter what you're doing, it's amazing. Too bad there's a 2-hour cooldown on it, but it is great, and so is Mass Res.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, so that's definitely good stuff. So be sneaky or go in numbers.
Well, yeah, also being able to drop out of combat. Like, I thought it was cool when we lost one or two in Silvermoon, and, you know, someone just slinks off, Shadow Meld, or, you know, Vanish, Mass Res, done. It was very, very cool.
So did you guys have, like, a rogue go in to Undercity and summon?
We could have, but no, I think we flew right in there. Like,
we didn't have much trouble.
Yeah.
Interesting. Seems fun.
It was, man. Definitely.
Next time let's in see.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, Orgrimmar. Let's see here. I asked Twitter what they liked best about the Fire Festival. And
did
also
the tweets come a raining in?
No, not a raining in. So then I asked people what they hated about it, and I got some responses.
And then they did.
Yeah. Sarah, Serene, likes killing Hordies who try to get into Ironforge to put out the fire. She really apparently enjoys that. Mage IC loves all the XP you get on tunes that are still leveling when you hit up the fires and stuff. Stoppable Force likes the ice stone melting.
That is pretty funny. I totally had forgotten about that, but that was a very funny time in the history of the Fire Festival.
It was like, guess what, guys? What? The ice stone is melting!
So good.
Let's see. Technophobia says the XP to gold conversion and free XP for alts, assuming it hasn't been nerfed. And Soylent Verde, very cute, says the XP boost to my lobies is something that they like.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking a little bit about that earlier, but I'm having such a rough time because I need to do it on magic, so all the flying is annoying, except I'm a mage, so it's not a huge deal. But then to have to do it all again on the paladin, I don't know. I'm still unsure of whether or not it's going to be worth it or if I'm just going to want to like, kill myself by the end.
Either way, no great loss.
Another good shot. Man, you are on today.
I had chocolate.
Swim hyper.
Exactly.
Let's see here. Ammo Nightfall, also likes being one step closer to that frackin' long, strange journey achieve.
There you go.
Ocephala prefers the toasted smorks. Toasted smorks. Should we talk about the things you can buy from the Firefest?
I'm not sure I even know what toasted smorks are, never having really done it.
What you can do is you can get, with your burning blossoms, is they act as currency for various things, right? So not just the clothing that you need, although I would seriously recommend that that's where you start spending that, but you can like also boost your attack power, your spell power, your crit, your hit, your defense rating, at least back in the day, I guess now it's dodge rating. Through a food buff that you can get from the Summer Fest vendor, and at least in previous years, it's stacked with your actual food buff.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
That is much more interesting.
Yeah, when my real-life friend, the Resto Druid, was working on Senwell, I guess that was several years ago, I guess, having an extra food buff from the Summer Festival vendor was like a requirement for their raid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, that's okay. Sure.
There you go.
I'm glad I don't raid with you at the time.
Yeah.
So definitely check out those vendors for that extra food, and it might help you out in PvE or PvP content. Let's see. We have another person who actually likes something about the Fire Festival. Sturgar Hawkwind says, the part where Firelands comes out. I have
that is
to
a
agree.
Good part of the Fire
that
Festival.
That yep. is a great part, right?
Probably
there.
Probably the best
Touché.
Part.
With regards to not liking stuff, Raids hates that Ahune is immune to frost.
Yeah. How about that immune to frost?
Our Guildy Void says that he used to hate it, now he's just indifferent. Let's see.
Hmm? Nothing.
What?
I was wondering how Void was feeling, actually. Oh. He's been sick.
Yeah, he wasn't feeling so good last night.
I'm intrigued to know which side of that line. I bet you there's... Do you both of you feel pretty adamantly about it one way or the other?
About the Fire Festival?
Yeah.
I'm just like, thank God it's over. Like, I don't have to do it again if I don't want to.
Right. I'm trying to figure out which side of that line I'll fall on. If it's, like, really easy, and I'll be like, oh, that was awesome, I'll definitely do that on all my tunes. Or if I'll be, like, spiteful about it. Like, God damn this place. I hate all of Azeroth and so forth and so on.
You'll probably vacillate between the two.
Depending on what part of Azeroth I'll have
yeah.
to fly to.
Yeah, almost
that
certainly.
That sounds about right.
Let's see here. Square Squid says, everything is fun and games until you are corpse camped for a half hour in Westfall with the hashtag, and I love this one, I'm awful at PvP.
No, you must have that after a lot of your posts too, huh?
Ha, ha, ha. Darla says that she hates having to go to every single flight path. It takes ages. Then again, I love that about Fire Festival too. So she's sort of like on the fence.
Huh.
And Megs from our guild also does not like the torch juggling daily. OMFG.
There's a daily
well
for
put.
It, huh?
Apparently.
Have you done the daily?
I don't think so. I was unaware.
Huh.
Yeah.
I will be sure not to do that.
So, yeah, the Fire Festival it has started basically as of now.
Still having some trouble finding those fires there, Bog?
Yeah, I went back to town and I'm doing some milling and whatnot, you know.
Don't worry, you'll find those fires soon.
Glyphing up my warrior.
Right
he hit
now.
75, by the way. Yeah, I know. I'm going to get on it, probably. Thank you, by the way. But yes.
Excellent.
So yeah, definitely be on the lookout for Horde. Especially if you're chasing achievements, be sure to kill the Horde or the Alliance as they enter your city to get those achieves. Be sure to kill people as you are attacking their city to steal their flame, if that's something you're interested in. Those are really good opportunities to get those killed, five Horde while defending the city or whatever it is. Or, those various PvP achievements that clearly I have no interest in doing. Because clearly, hashtag I'm awful at PvP.
Absolutely. guess that's a pretty good overview for all of the festival, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I like it. I think we did well. I guess that'll move us on into our shout-out section. Karen, do you have any shout-outs this week?
I guess I really have to shout out to all the people who bought my Mysterious Fortune card.
Oh, man.
As you should.
Yeah.
They deserve something in return for you taking all their money.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Shout out. But also specifically to Fox Van Allen, who just gold-capped his tune, and he wrote up the gold-capped article at WoW Insider this week, which he then pimped out on his Twitter, which then got me to go read it, which then made me decide to go back to working on Mysterious Fortune cards. So shout out to all the people who bought my cards, and to Fox Van Allen for basically instigating my return to creating them. Also, a large non-shout out to Pat Sajak.
Wow.
Fog, how about you?
Probably a little shout out to you guys again for having me. And also to the guild for putting up with my amazing tanking. And yeah.
Excellent. I see what you did there.
Yeah, I turned it around.
Awesome.
But no, really, shout out to the guild. You guys are going to kick some ass, come Firelands, and I'm going to hear all about it.
Yeah, you're going to be very jealous.
Yes.
I will be jealous, and I'll be PvPing, though.
Okay. So.
Nice. My shout out is, again, to Safety Heals, because I cannot express how much I love the fact that he said mana is a crutch. I cannot get past it. And you are the best ever. That is all. Good sir. And I guess with that, we'll move into our tip of the week. Our tip of the week this week is to save your burning blossoms for the midsummer clothing first, then buy everything else, because you could be wasting it if you're not making sure you do the achievement first, essentially.
Exactly.
Pretty important. We'd love to hear your tips of the week. If you have any you want to share, or any feedback, or anything, email us at podcast@blessingoffrost.com. Let us know what you thought. You can follow Apotheosis and Kern on Twitter. Follow at ApotheosisET and at KernMog. Leave comments and rate us up on iTunes. Fog, thanks for joining us today. Do you have anything you want to pimp out?
God, no, I didn't think of that at all. I got nothing to pimp out.
No, really, but nothing. Like, you know, a blog or a Twitter or something?
No. My own, but gosh.
Well, no, but that's what we're saying. Would you like to pimp that out?
No, I'm far too shy for that.
Okay.
Maybe I'll find next you. Time. Maybe next time. I guess that'll bring us to the end of our 24th episode of Blessing of Frost. I'm Magic.
And I'm Fog.
And I'm Kern.
And until next time, stay frosty.
Blessing of Frost is a not-for-profit World of Warcraft podcast by Kern and Magic, copyright 2011. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks to our Gildy Numenal for the use of his voice in our intro, and thanks to you for listening.